Today is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church.
Happy birthday.
And what a wonderful birthday present to be showered with our baptism of waters, you know, and just a gift of the Holy Spirit. That was lovely. You know, the joy and that was in the room at the moment was just lovely. It really was. So, you know, before Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit being breathed on the apostles, they were hiding in fear. They're in a locked room, right? And if you remember, at the ascension, Jesus had promised to clothe them with power from on high. So they were praying for this gift, you know. And they're praying, and suddenly there's a noise like a strong wind. Driving wind with tongues of fire, and that came to rest on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, freed from their fear, and they began to speak in tongues, telling of the mighty acts of God. This was the birth of the church. The Spirit brought unity to the apostles by giving the apostles this gift of being able to speak in different languages. And this wind can be thought of as the breath of God, a great wind that can blow through us with such force it can change our lives in an instant. In the second reading, Paul notes the Spirit unites us into one body, the body of Christ, even though we all have individual spiritual gifts. The church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is Lord, the head of the body. And in the gospel, we hear Jesus bringing the apostles a greeting that frees them from their fear and joy when they recognize him in their presence. And he brings the breath of life and love that is the Holy Spirit when he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There's a lot of things to think about in all three of those readings, you know. And one more I'm going to add to this little ideas of things about the Holy Spirit, and that's today's sequence. You know, for in the sequence, it contains such beautiful images and concepts of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to invite us not to rush over them, you know, because there's life from death in those words, you know, and that's what the Holy Spirit can be to us. Creation as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Inspiration as a gift from the Holy Spirit. You know, seeking the Holy Spirit as being the only correct course, seeking what is true for us. And to kind of visualize the Holy Spirit as burning love, as a central source in our lives, as our living source. You know, and of course, our protector and Lord of life, and there are a few other concepts in there. I don't want, you know, there's a lot of meat in that particular song. And I invite you to take a picture of the lyrics and use them as meditation, or Google the song later, "O Holy Spirit, by whose breath," to get those lyrics and use them in your meditations. You know, because we can use them in our prayer time, and we want to try to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our very selves, so that we experience the Father anew, you know, and our lives can be rendered sweet by his presence. He is the divine breath which Christ imparts upon us, sending us throughout the world with that gift. Jesus gives us his Spirit, not only to ensure his love, but to assure us of his love. We now have the same communion with the Father, the same advocate which Christ enjoyed when he preached and prayed on the earth. We are made co-heirs to Christ in the Spirit, for we now enjoy the same gifts of the divine gifts and power. So what could that mean to us? You know, other than being pretty cool. I'll submit that the thing I would take away from this is it means do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We need not be holed up in our rooms, behind locked doors, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit with all his power and grace. You know, one of my favorite songs is from a group called Casting Crowns. And it's a song about what's possible with God's help. And the song starts with, it's called The Voice of Truth. The song starts with a lament about what we would do if we had the kind of faith to leap out of the boat when Jesus calls us, or when he breathes on us through the Holy Spirit, when we get those inspirations and we follow through on it. You know, what kind of faith, what kind of moment would that be in our lives? And if you call this boat that I'm talking about, it's the one from Matthew 14:29, when Jesus tells Peter to come, and Peter steps out into the crashing waves and walks towards Jesus, buoyed by his faith. He reaches out of his comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And the writer of the song uses waves as the metaphor for the world and our fears. Just as the room, the locked doors in the room the gospel reading does today. And the song describes how the waves laugh at him and how they deride him, just as our own fears in the world can discourage us from stepping out on faith. The chorus to this song is, "The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. And out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth." So who are we going to listen to? The voice of truth, also known as the Holy Spirit, or the world and its fears? For it takes faith to listen to this voice of truth. You know, Paul tells us today that we're all meant to drink from this one spirit. Male, female, Greek, Jew, servant, free. Everyone is to be one in Christ. Everyone is to be listening to this voice of truth. One body, many parts, one spirit, many gifts. Each of us is called to listen to the Holy Spirit and to live by that spirit and to rise above the fears and the voices of this world and live in him, and not depend on ourselves, but to live in the fire of the Holy Spirit. The first reading from Acts today tells us we're to hear these voices not just from the words of our culture, you know, which they did in that particular moment. They were hearing their own languages being talked to them, you know, so that we can understand, so you can understand the gospel in English and all that stuff. Not just, but we can also take from this reading that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in a way that is particular to our situation. He will speak to us in a language that we understand, intimate and close and personal. You know, we talked about the strong wind earlier, how that can change us in an instant. You know, this language that the Holy Spirit maybe teaches, the other way we can be talked to is, you know, slowly and gently and proddingly to change our lives. That will change us over time, you know, as we listen to the Holy Spirit and are guided by it. You know, the Spirit of Truth is an unmistakable voice. This advocate who will speak for us, speak for Jesus to us, will guide us to the truth in things great and small. Now, sometimes that truth will hurt if we are in error. But like the saying goes, the truth will set us free. So last month, a number of our teens experienced the sacrament of confirmation. And I recommend, you know, coming next year just to watch the Mass and to watch them receive this sacrament. You know, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The effects of the sacrament that are expressed in, you know, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation, this is the key, confirmation imprinted on their soul a sacred character, which can never be erased. You know, once you hear the truth, it's pretty hard to turn away. You can try to cover it up, try to walk a different direction, but you can never erase the truth. And they receive the same gift that the apostles received when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," thousands of years ago. Perhaps now we might take a moment to reflect on what that meant to us, what our own confirmation, however long ago it may have been, you know, what it meant for you and what it means for you today. For the sacrament of confirmation makes us agents of the church, builders of his kingdom, co-heirs with Christ. So, as we end the Easter season with the Feast of Pentecost and move back into ordinary time, perhaps we can take a moment to discern how we're going to serve the church and our Lord. For on what we consider to be the birthday of the church, what better gift could we give the church by letting go of our fears and listening to the voice of truth and giving the church the gift of ourselves with whatever charisms we have? For whatever we receive from the Holy Spirit is not meant to be kept to ourselves. You know, they're not necessarily ours. They are meant to be used by God and not kept inside by ourselves, not hidden under a bushel basket, if you will. And they'd be used to build up his kingdom, and we need not be afraid of what that calling will mean.